In verses 3 through 9, dealing with 1 Peter for several hours last week and also this week, and even in Wednesday night, a great book, and old Peter is a great encourager, and we know that the people there in the time of writing this book was going through great persecution. The Christians was, and they were scattered throughout the nations and being put to death. But old Peter wrote a letter to them for encouragement and to think what God is doing for them no matter where they at. And here this morning, I entitled this message, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." To be honest with yourself and to be honest with God, how long has it been since you said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul"? You know, a lot of time we thank Him for our dinner, we thank Him for our food, and we thank Him for, you know, letting somebody come home from hospital. We thank Him for somebody that's is well, and we thank Him for this, and we thank Him for the new car, and we thank Him for this. But how many times do you thank Him for your salvation? How long has it been since you say, "Thank you, Lord, for your salvation"? Well, for several years now, Lord put this on my mind every morning. That's what I do. The first thing I do in my first prayer, and I read my little devotion, is I thank the Lord for my salvation. And you see that there's so many aspects of it. Now, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Word of God, very little, but I know that I was a lost sinner and I need to be saved. I knew very little about the Bible, but more I've read the Bible, more that I've studied the Bible, more that I understand what Christ has done for me in salvation. You know, that ought to cause you to want to praise Him even more. I guess the best time of your life, whenever you first get saved, you're just on fire for the Lord and everything seems like it's rosy and all. But as you go through this Christian life, there's a lot of things that get you down. But to remember one thing, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Because you see, as you look at this and think what Christ has done for you, as you look back upon your life and to think about whenever you was lost, some of you was saved whenever you was kids and you really don't remember the change over time, but I will remember, and I know a lot of you probably remember too, as you was alive, as I was just a young boy, I'd always heard about Jesus Christ, and I reverenced the things of God that I knew how to reverence. I reverenced the Bible. I knew it was a holy thing of God, and about the only church we ever went by was old Mill Creek Primitive Baptist Church, and I reverenced that place, and we'd walk around sometimes us boys in the old cemetery, and we'd reverence the graves, and we wouldn't step on the graves, you know, and we'd do everything we could to reverence that place because it was a holy place, and you know, we just reverenced everything about God, the old house and everything. We reverenced God, and I always believed about Jesus Christ, but you know, I was just as lost as I could be. I did not know Jesus Christ. I knew about Jesus Christ, but I didn't know Jesus Christ. And from time that I began to grow up and different people, I went into the workforce and different people began to try to tell me about Jesus Christ. Well, I know about Jesus Christ. I don't need to hear anything from you. Well, you know, that you need to come and go to church. I know where the church is at. You don't have to tell me to come and go to church. I know exactly where the church is at. When I get ready, I go to church. Well, you know, you really need to be saved. Well, when I get ready, I'll be saved. And when I do, I won't be like a bunch of the hypocrites in the church. I'll live a perfect life. Has the devil ever talked to anybody like that? When I get ready, I'll live a perfect life. I won't be like them hypocrites in church. And I thought, and many people this day, they think it's up to them to get saved. They think when they get ready, I'll go down to that church and I'll get saved when I get ready. I'm not ready right now. Because I'm not ready to live a perfect life. I don't feel like I can anyway, but just as soon as I feel like I can, I'm going down to church and I'm going to get saved and then I'm going to live a perfect life the rest of my life. You see, it don't work that way, does it? So, you know what? I'm going to tell you this morning, you are looking at a miracle. It is a miracle that Jesus Christ saved me. I mean, that's a miracle. Because, you see, I can read a book about George Washington, but I've never met George Washington. He never revealed himself to me. But when I read about Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, I know Jesus Christ. And it was up to Jesus Christ. is a miracle that God chose to know me through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit of God. So Peter is writing this all to the saints and to remember. And tonight, I hope that you come to our service tonight, because it's going to be on remembrance. You see on this table before us, do this in remembrance of me. It's only for the saved people to remember back what Jesus Christ has done for them. It's one of the most sacredest service that we'll have here in this church ever is when we have the Lord's Supper. And it's certainly not what I'll be saying or preaching about, or me or Brother Marshall or anybody, a preacher, but it's what will be laid out upon this table and the symbolic of what Jesus Christ has done for you. As many times as you do this, you need to come. It is the Lord's Supper. I would not miss it for anything in the world if I could. I would be here if I could. I'm telling you what, a bulldozer could not keep me from entering in these doors or seated if I'm able to come. Because I want to remember what Jesus Christ done to me and done for me when I was headed to a place called hell. I don't want to never forget that. He saved my soul. Well, Peter is writing this letter now to those who have been persecuted. And you know, see, they are scared and they're running all over the country. Old Peter says, you know, there's hope, though, that you can come home. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Hope. Sometimes people lose hope. Peter, as he writes this book, it's a book of hope. You know, reverential hope that you may be saved. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter in verse 3 through 9 as we read. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heavily through manifold temptations, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have ye not seen, ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believe ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Let us pray again. Father Jesus, we just want to thank you for the excitement that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, for this great hope that we have, knowing what the miracle, Lord, that lives within every child of God here this day. And Father, how that we need to praise and honor him for what he has done for us in our life, God. And how, Father, he has brought us back from a dead life and to a living life in Jesus Christ. But not only us, Father, but for all the saints of God, those, Father, is already gone on to be with you in heaven, God. We know that they are alive forevermore. Father, we know here this day, although we know the time of the drums are beating against us each day, Lord, we marching, Lord, to that place that's called death in this life, but know that we also have this living hope, Father, that we will never stop at death's door, but we'll just pass through into a place, God, forever and ever it be with you, alive forevermore. It is amazing, Father. It is a gift, Father. It is a miracle, Father. And Father, this day, I hope, Father, each everyone here this day just be thanking you and praising you and the excitement in their heart to understand what we really have. We should not be walking around, Lord, without no hope today. If you're a saved, born-again believer, no matter what this world throws at you this day, no matter what this world's coming to, what our country's coming to, no matter what position that you may be in, no matter what circumstance might be up against tomorrow, that you're up against tomorrow, but Father, this day, knowing that you are a miracle of God, that the salvation, Father, has come to you because of Jesus Christ has revealed himself, oh God, and gave you the faith, oh God, to receive him. And now I'll tell you, we here this day ought to have a hope and ought to have this expectation. Well, Lord, we ought to be enthused about what God's doing, and Lord, we want other people to catch on and, Father, catch what we have this day in Christ Jesus. Thank you. We can't praise you enough this day, this hour, for what you're doing in our life. life. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hope. Hope today, this living hope. Do you know what it is to lose hope? There are so many people today is losing hope. They're losing hope on their retirement system that they once had, and look upon the banks and their 401k, and they find out that it's been tucked away from them. They're looking at their health and their life, and they find out we have all type of disease and terminal diseases and sickness, and they go to the doctor, as many people have, and the doctor, you know, say, well, we've done all we can for them. We got to send them home with hospice. And, you know, we have done everything that we can, and they lose hope. There's so many people today, it's losing hope. They look for jobs, and they can't find jobs to meet the requirement of their living conditions of their home, and they just losing hope. But old Peter says, don't lose hope, because in Christ Jesus we have hope, no matter what this world throws it at today. Peter says, I'm going to restore hope. Don't lose hope. And people has lost hope. You know, they look out and they say, well, there's no future. And there's no future for any of us. But see, today we have a future. And this future is tied to a living hope. It showed on television not long ago that Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, these shoebox that we're trying to pack. And bring your stuff as you can, as many as we can. Because those little old shoeboxes, as he showed us on television, are going to be handed to little kids that absolutely have no hope whatsoever. That little box that you give them, and it's also have the scriptures in it for them to be saved in whatever language that they give them, and there's hope that they might be saved. I know down in Mexico, whenever we hand Bibles and things to people that's never held a Bible in their hand before, can you imagine somebody has put a Bible in your hand and you have never, ever, ever held a Bible in your hand before? I'm going to tell you what, they don't have the hope. And I'm going to tell you what old Peter says, I'm going to restore this hope. And that's what Jesus Christ is trying to tell us today. We need hope today. Hope, you know, is an anchor which stabilizes our life in the stormy days. So we need this hope in the stormy days that's coming for many of us. But the hope is a telescope also that brings God's promises way out there, and to enable us, oh God, to balance our future through the great promises of God. This hope we have today. People on our prayer list, we pray because they need hope, and we give them hope through prayer. Pray. Oh, Paul says, now this Christian life is like a spiritual Olympic. We are running this race. Every one of us is in this race. It's like a spiritual Olympic, this race that we run. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Paul says also at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm going to tell you this morning that you're in a race. This race you entered in by faith, and I'll tell you what, you will finish this race. This gold medal that the Olympics have, you know what? The gold medal, they only get one per person. They get one for country. They get one for each thing that they enter into, and they train real hard. They might be 100 people training for that one gold medal, but all the training of all the rest of them, all the sacrifice they make, all the hard work, only one gets that gold. But the difference is in the life that you and I are running. When we enter this race, everybody goes in this race. It's a saved person, and everybody's going to pass the finish line, and everybody is going to get that medal. I'm going to tell you, it won't be just a gold medal. It'll be a reward from Jesus Christ. Now, there's four facts I'd like for you to understand. It all based on our faith of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, whenever I thought I decided to get saved, I didn't understand that I didn't have enough of faith to get saved. God's got to give me faith to be saved. You think it comes to you, and you think you can just muster up enough of faith, and I'll be able to understand these things, and I'll have enough of faith to do this. Listen, your faith do not come from you. Your faith comes from God. This is biblical faith, and you don't just decide to be saved. God gives that to us. So see, the producer of our faith is God Almighty himself, and there's four things, you see. The producer of our faith is a protector of our faith, and then there's pain and there's agony through our faith, but also there's a proof of our faith. faith, and we'll see this in just a moment in these verses of scriptures. Now the title, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. This sort of may bring it back to you what God has done for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Because without these four items that I've just quoted you here, these four illustrations that I'm going to give you this day in these verses of scriptures, without them, did you know what? You would not be saved today. It takes God moving upon you and giving you the faith to be saved. People just don't decide they're going to be good and be saved because good people's not saved. Saved people are saved. And then I tell you today, you're going to understand this because you see, the producer of our faith is God. It says there in verse 3, Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, you know what? It's all of God, the miracle of the new birth. Peter says, you know what? He just filled himself with praise. And that's what you'll be doing here today, to think what God's done for us. I tell you, every time that we have a meeting in the name of Jesus Christ in this building today, it ought to be a revival to the praise and the honor of God, what he's done for us. We ought not walk around with our heads down, gloomy, don't know what's happening. We ought to be honoring and praising God every time that we come into these buildings, every time that we meet in the name of Jesus Christ. Look what he's done for you throughout the years. Look what he's done for your family throughout the years. Look how he's been with your forefathers. Look what he's going to be able to do for you in the future. He's made a place for you. There's a place that's called heaven that you'll be with Jesus Christ forevermore if you'll only understand that, you know what, God is producer of our faith. He's the one that makes all the initiative that we might be saved. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a miracle that I was born again. It is a miracle of God that you born again. He chose you. He gave you this faith that you might be saved. I'm going to tell you what, we need to just stop and have a great invitation right now that everybody might come. Do you feel like doing that right now? That everybody ought to come and say, Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And not only that, the little loved ones that God has allowed you to bring into this world. I'm going to tell you, God has allowed a lot of us here this day to bring these little ones into this world and also our grandkids into this world. Did you know not only did he make a way and a great blessing and a great miracle that you might be saved and your wife might be saved and your mothers and fathers and your grandfather, but you know what? Those precious little things that God allowed us to bring into this world, our kids, our grandkids and our great-grandkids, this same God that let me have a miracle in my life to know him, this same God has allowed my kids and my grandkids, and if it keeps on going and Jesus Christ don't come back, he has given this miracle to whosoever will that belongs to my family. It ought to be enough to praise God this hour for what he's done for each and every one of us today. Old Peter says, I just busted into praise and honor and the glory to think what God, the Savior that came in this world and done for little old Peter that denied him so many times. And you remember Wednesday night, he says, I don't know that man. I've never been around that man. He cursed and he swore, I don't know that man called Jesus Christ until that cock crow. And you know, when he looked at old Peter and he busted into tears then. Well, this same Peter that I'm talking about now after the resurrection is talking to you and I today. And he wrote this book, 1 Peter and also 2 Peter, to the people that had no hope today. But I'm going to tell you, hope seemed like a long way off for a lot of us today. But I'm going to tell you, Peter says hope is here on the way. It lives in every one of us today. We have hope in Jesus Christ today. He is a living Savior today. Old Peter says there's hope. All we got to do is just get in on it. The pride and the glory and the praise that we need to give to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's about time that we start praising God. It ought to be about time that this revives the heart that you have the day that Jesus has already put in your heart today. We ought to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But I want to tell you, he produces our faith. He's the one. He's the miracle. It's the miracle today that I ever got saved because it was God that chose you and God that chose me. And God, let me understand, I don't decide to go down there and get saved. I don't decide to live a perfect life that I might go to heaven. It's not of me, it's all of God. I'm going to tell you, God says there in verse 3, God has begotten us again in a living hope. I'm going to tell you the faith, this is a birth of faith through God. He birthed us. He born me into the family of God. He born me. In my life, I wasn't much. I talked about salvation, but I didn't know about salvation. But I'm going to tell you what, the day I know about salvation, a lot of people today, they talk about salvation. They talk about what God has given them. I cannot, for the sake of myself, to understand that anybody's got the living Spirit of God, Jesus. Jesus Christ lives in a heart, don't come and honor and give him the glory and the praise here today in a church that, you know what, that he desires. And I'm going to tell you, he's worthy of it for what he has done in our life today. Oh, I'm going to tell you, how many, many people's lost, and they think they just going to side one of these days, they're going to be saved. I tell you, you can't hardly find anybody if you talk to them. Do you want to be saved? Or are you going to go to hell? Yep, yep, yep. Do you want to be saved right now? Well, not right now. I've talked to many people. You want to be saved? I went through the plan of salvation with a lot of people. Do you want to be saved? Yep. Would you take the sinner's prayer and ask Jesus Christ to save you? Nope, not right now. Not right now. You know what their idea is? They're not ready. But when they get ready, they intend to. But I guarantee you, they don't intend to go to hell. I never spoke to anybody. I spoke to people that says, well, if I die in my sins right now, I'll go to hell. But they don't intend to go to hell. They intend to get right with God, but not right now. They intend when I get ready, when I get ready, when I sow all my wild oats as a young person, then, when I'm old and don't have no teeth, no hair, and I can't see, then I will. But you see, there's some young graves in cemeteries. There's some young graves. I know a lot of people. I worked with the railroad for 40-something years, and I have always had some relatives. I worked with a lot of people. And their idea was that whenever I retire, I'm going to be and my wife, we're going to get us a motor home, and we're going to travel and see the world. I says, no, you won't. No, you won't. You'd have other things to do. And I can name you one after another, after another, and after another. Either the wife died then before retirement or right after, or either the husband died. You don't plan what you're going to do out in the future because you don't have any future. And it's the same thing about salvation. They tend to get right. They tend to serve God. They plan to come to church and be active in church, but it's going to be way out in the future, not right now. Not right now, when I decide to. You see, in Ephesians 2 and 1 says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You see, a lost person's dead. I was dead, double dog dead. Did you know dead people can't decide anything? You go to a funeral and you know what? You have to make all the arrangements. That person in that funeral home can't pick out the caskets, can't pick out the clothes, can't pick out the flowers, can't pick out the arrangement. That person's dead, can't make no decisions. People that's lost are dead. I was dead. Jesus Christ called Lazarus, come forth. Before he could come forth, he had to give him life. Before he could come forth, before he could call him. Born again is not something that you do for God. It's something that God does for you. You see, I thought I could do something to God, that I get ready, I'll do something for God. Shoot, I might even start going to church. I might even give a little bit in the offering once in a while when I decide to. And I might quit doing this, and I might quit doing that, and I might start doing all this for God when I get ready to live right. That's not salvation. You will never be saved that way, because it's nothing that you do for God is you're going to accept. It's what God has done for each and every one of us. You see, born again, when you was born in this world, physical born in this world, you know what? You didn't do too much to help. Did y'all know that? There was a doctor or somebody there to help, but you know what? You didn't do a whole lot. Colossians 1 and 13 says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus Christ delivered us through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, he delivered us into the body of Christ. Something we couldn't do because you didn't deliver yourself. Somebody else did. He delivered us. Now, why people don't praise God for salvation, I'll never know if they say they're saved. Because they just don't understand. Faith was a gift from God. God produced it. It was a gift. But not only that, we find the birth of our faith, but the basics of our faith through God in verse 3. Born into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, they'd be like taking the air out of a balloon. It'd be, you know, like taking the heart out of mankind. Take the resurrection, and I'll tell you what, all you have is false religion. Because that's the difference of all the false religion of the world today in Christianity, because their hero is still in the grave. Ours is a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Faith is a living hope because we trust in a living Savior. It cannot perish and cannot die ever again. That's the reason that I'm a miracle this day in me, because I have faith in Jesus Christ. And the boast of my faith is in verse 4, and then it says there in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, for me. I got this inheritance. And you see, it tells us that verse 4, how faith starts, how it stands, and how it stays is in God. Wrapped up, I tell you, in our inheritance, incorruptible, that cannot be destroyed. Incorruptible, cannot perish away. The government can't take it away from you. It's mine forevermore, undefiled. Excuse me. Inflation cannot devalue it. I'm going to tell you, the stock markets cannot take it away from you. It's reserved in heaven. Now listen, it's reserved in heaven. A lot of people think heaven is their inheritance. Heaven is not your inheritance. That is the safety deposit box of your inheritance. Jesus Christ is your inheritance. Excuse me. Jesus Christ is your inheritance. Heaven is just that safe deposit box. In Ezekiel 44 and 28, talking to the nation of Israel, and it shall be unto them for an inheritance, I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, is our inheritance. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. The protector of our faith. Verse 5, it says in this same chapter of Peter, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. You see, what if I don't live right? What if I don't live right? Will my inheritance still be there? Yes, because it's not based on how I live, but the promise of God. But the promise of God. You are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in you. And I'm going to tell you, that's pretty secure, would you say? Security of our salvation. I'm going to tell you, there is security in our salvation because He protects us. We are kept by the power of God. Sung those songs about the power of God. That word kept's a military word. It means a garrison of army standing by and guarding. You know, I don't know how many angels might be around you and I today. It's protecting us. I have no idea. The Bible says there's a bunch of angels. Don't tell us how many they are, but there's a bunch of them. Can you imagine how many people it takes in Washington, D.C. to guard the White House 9 a day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? It's guarded. You know that? I'm going to tell you what, it is guarded by garrisons of military, night and day, day and night. And Jesus Christ says, you know what, the security of ours also is being guarded by the power of God. Now, you thank Him for the power of our military, but our military ain't got nothing like God's got. I'm telling you that. What God produces, God protects. He produced your faith, and He will protect your faith. What God gives, God guards. And what God sends, God seals. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. 1 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. Jude 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He's going to protect me. Got that frog again. He's going to protect me my Father. That's the reason I say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, because he's going to protect me, my salvation. He's going to protect that. Not me, him. Now, what father would take his son up on a high cliff, and his son standing on that high cliff, and what father would not keep him from falling if he's able to keep him from falling off that cliff? Every father would be able to keep that son from falling. And I tell you what, he would do so. He'd keep him from falling, would he not? I know that I've been fortunate to go to a lot of places in this country on vacation. George, myself, when the boys were smaller, we went to Niagara Falls, and, you know, we had got right up there to the water where it just boiled over, you know. We'd hold on to the youngins. I don't know. We'd squeeze our hand. I don't believe they could even open our hand. We'd squeeze our hands so hard. We're afraid, you know what, that water might pull him off. You know, I've been to the Grand Canyon, right up on the cliff of the Grand Canyon, and old Joy, she had both legs and arms wrapped around her youngins. She weren't there going to let them youngins fall off that cliff, you know. I mean, I'm sure we went to the Hoover Dam, you know, man. You look down there, but you won't get so close to that thing, you know, you're scared to death. Now, what father would put his son up on a cliff to not keep his son from falling? They're not a father in here or a mother, is that right? But did you know you love your kids enough and you want to protect them enough? But I want to ask you a question. Do you believe your Heavenly Father loves you more and is able to protect you more and keep you than your own mothers and fathers? And your salvation? I'm going to tell you what, thank you, Lord, for saving and your salvation. Do you think that God the Father is not going to protect what he started, what he put into you? Boy, I'm going to tell you, my salvation protected by the power of God. My Heavenly Father this day, I'm telling you how great it is. And the source of our salvation, in verse 3, then it says again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is according to his abundance mercy have begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is by the mercy of God and not by the merit of man. People worry about losing their salvation if they could just only understand salvation is not a reward for the righteous. Salvation is not a reward for those that's righteous. Salvation is a gift to those that's guilty. So many times people try to be righteous because they're trying to earn salvation. As I said, when I get ready, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do that. That's when God said, all of that there ain't nothing but filthy rags in my sight. Now, you can't be good enough. You see, salvation is a gift of the guilty. People think they're self-righteous, but you're not going to get salvation by being self-righteous. Salvation is a gift for those that's guilty. And I'll tell you this morning, I was guilty. Anybody agree with that? I was a guilty person before God. I didn't have anything that God wanted from me. I was a bankrupt sinner, doomed and damned on my way to hell. I was a dead person. I could not see or understand, but that God Almighty, that Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit, you know what? He gave me a gift of faith if I would receive his Son. So I want to tell you, it's so great to know what Christ has done for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. See, my salvation came in a box of grace wrapped up in a ribbon of mercy, and I'm going to tell you, sealed with the love of Jesus Christ. And the honest way that I lose mine for God to lose all of his mercy and lose all of his grace and lose all of his love for me. That's whenever I lose my salvation. So I'm going to tell you, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm going to tell you the third thing it is, the pain of our faith. Now, don't think because that we're saved that God's going to rout away all of our sickness and our sorrow and our difficulties, because we're going to have some. We're going to have some. In verse 6, it also said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heavily through manifold temptations. And that manifold temptations, there are many types of needs and many types of trials that we're going through, pain. The Bible says you need there some learn some things. Did you know you can learn some things through some pain and trials that you can't learn any other way, Christians? That's God's. He got a bunch of tools in his bag. And one of those tools is suffering. One of those tools is difficulties. One of those tools is trials. But he always has his hand on those test gauge. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, yea, And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Closer you get to Jesus Christ, what does it say? The more that you may have to suffer. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with all expectation and all this joy and all exceeding that he gives us each day. You see, when you're saved, this life becomes a battleground, and it's not a playground anymore. There's a lot of family members, and I tell you, we pray for our military overseas, and a lot of family members is now out into military, out into the Persian Gulf, and all over the world that's keeping us safe this hour. But you know, in the battle that they're in, although they may be on a ship somewhere, although they may be in some barrack somewhere, and it might seem safe and everything, wherever they're at, but you know, every one of our men and women is in the military, there's always a tendency for them to get wounded. There's always a tendency for them to lose their life and get wounded and have problems. So I want to tell you that every one of us today is in a battle. And there's a tendency for every one of us to go into this battle of life and get wounded and have these difficulties. But you see, we got God with us. He says this pain is necessary. Something that God can only teach you through trials and pains and troubles. It teaches us patience, for one thing. I need patience. James 1:2-3 says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's many trials, many kinds of trials, knowing that this trying of your faith, testing your faith, worketh patience. It produces patience. Teaches us patience. Teaches us dependence. You know, just like old Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You know what? He prayed for the Lord to deliver him from that or pull that thorn out. He says, nope, I want to teach you something, Paul, that you need to depend on me. And then we have obedience. Just obeying the Lord. He tells us that you just need to learn to obey the Lord in his character. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget. And you know what? He says, well, I got some little discipline for you. You ought to have been here Wednesday night because the Lord said he's going to discipline those that he loved. In Hebrews 12:10 says, for they verily for a few days chastening us after our own pleasure, but he for a profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness for a reason. But also he tells us that pain is also temporary. Now trials has a reason to come into our life, but also trials has a season. He says, verse 6, for a season. God will never test you beyond what you're able to bear. It came to pass. I looked that scripture up in several different places. It came to pass. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. It says, Brother Darrell, like this. You know, kidney stones came to pass. Aren't you glad the problems and trouble that you've had in your life, they didn't come to stay? It came to pass. You need to understand it come to pass. It'd be something come to stay. But you see, the proof of our faith, verse 7, 8, 9, if I already read, a trial of our faith be much more precious than gold. Goldsmith trying gold. You see, when a goldsmith puts gold in this urn and he puts it over the fire and he begins to heat it and heat it and heat it until, you know what? Till all the gross comes to the top, you know, and he skims it off. He keeps it in there, keeps it in, and he keeps it in there till he know it comes genuine. All the gross is pulled off, and it's genuine gold. You see, because there's so much in our life today that God puts us through trials. There's so much in our life, you know, that we need to get out of our life. Oh, you think we're doing pretty good, do you? You think you're doing pretty good here, do you? But I'm going to tell you what, every one of us here today, I can assure you by the word of God, there's some things in your life that God's going to have to burn away. Woo, I don't like that. I don't like it, but I need it. It'll break your heart. It'll hurt you, but I need it. Faith purifies our faith. It says, you know, in verse 7, the trials of your faith be much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord. You see, that's the reason I'm telling you right now that we need to be praising the Lord. Because if you don't, them trials is going to cause you to praise the Lord. God ain't going to give up on you. They're going to cause you before you leave this world. You're going to be praising God. Every child of God. You see, there's a test to clean out the impurities in our heart. And we have all kind of them. You know, we have pride in our heart. Christian people have pride in their heart. Not only that, you know what? There's people sitting here, I guarantee, with jealousy in their heart. And I know one thing for sure, there's some here this hour that's got ugliness in their heart. And they got bitterness in their heart. And you see, these trials forces us to bring this stuff up, and it shows us our weakness. As a silversmith, he begins to heat that gold hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and he tests it by seeing himself in that gold. Well, you know, that's what Jesus Christ, when you go through these trials, that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He keeps you in this heat of this fire of tribulation and trials because he's looking to see his face in you. He's looking to see his face in you and see his face in your life. Are you living like Jesus Christ? The trials glorifies our faith, that we be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord. The title, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You see, because what he wants for every one of us today, he wants to tell us this, and I want to hear this, and I'm afraid I don't measure up like I should. But you know what he says? Sometimes some people are going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I wonder this hour if God would take everybody home in this building right now, and we stand before Jesus Christ right now. I just wonder if he looks at your life and looks at my life. I wonder if he'd say I can't say that. But I'm going to run you through a dipping vat. When I get through with you, you'll be perfect. But I wonder if I got some trials and things I got to go through where he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be good to hear? Paul says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to come. The goals that they win at the Olympic Games, I read about those. I was looking this up for an illustration. And they're only just got part of gold. They just got a little slim slab of gold upon them. I thought they were solid gold. You look like they're as much work they do, they give them a solid gold medal. But it's not. It's just percentage of gold. Worth about $78, a gold is now, the Olympic medal they get. But you see, after a while, you see that gold rub off, it's so thin. And you know what, after that gold rubs off, that metal will tarnish and grow mighty dim. But I'm going to tell you, the gold medal of grace that God's going to give us every day, that won't rub off and it won't never grow dim and diminish. It will go greater and greater each day. Only the gold of God will give us what we need. Today, I want to tell you, Lord, in the presence of these people standing here today, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If there's a person here that come for a song of invitation, if there's a person here that's never walked this aisle and never glorified God, because that's what you're doing, you're just thanking God for saving your soul. If you would come down the aisle right now and say, Lord, I just want to glorify you. I want everybody in the world. I want everybody in this church. I want everybody. I want my family members to know. I want them to know that I profess you as Lord and Savior because you saved my soul. I understand I could not do it myself. I cannot live good enough. I've never lived good enough. But, Father, it's your life and not my life. And you have given me this new life in Christ Jesus. And I'd like for you to come this time, if that's what God has spoken to you about that salvation, that you might be able to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul when you leave this place today.